When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
But if we were to have a child and say we had just a white child, I feel like it does nothing but go hurts her in the narrative of I'm surrounded by white people in my family. Mm. So I feel like I would come to a situation where people wouldn't necessarily love the fact that we would get a black donor as well. And I would hate to take that away, you know, from another black family. It's just a lot of convoluted things.
Because there's such a shortage of black donors.
Correct.
California Cryobank, you listening?
Right.
You listening? get on that. But like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Taking those donors from Black families.
Correct.
Who really.
Yep.
Ooh, this is layered. Well, hello. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. And if you are looking to find stories that uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA plus families and all of our beautiful identities, you've come to the right place, folks. And I'm happy to have you here. And today's episode does just that. Highlights, uplifts, normalizes, and celebrates one particular LGBTQ family. I had the wonderful opportunity to sit down with Kara Cochran, also known as Karis_ATL on the social media. If you don't follow Kara, you're going to want to go do that because she's doing a great job to represent our families out there in the socials, as the kids say. They don't say that at all, but I felt like saying that. But she sat down with me and we talked about how she came out later in life after she already had a kid. And we get into a really great discussion about representation and how much it really does matter for us LGBTQIA folks. And we talk about how she and her love of her life met and created their beautiful blended family and the beginning of their social media channel. And it's a really wonderful conversation and eye-opening in so many ways. And I had such a great time talking with her. So you're really, really, really going to love this episode. But before I roll that tape, before I do it, we got a voicemail, y'all, from the aunt of one of last week's guests, Chelsea. Okay, so if you haven't listened to last week's episode, you got to go listen right now. It was a beautiful, beautiful conversation. We talked about transitioning while undergoing fertility treatments and finally making that beautiful family that they have right now. It's a gorgeous conversation, gorgeous humans. I had such a wonderful time talking to them. And Chelsea's aunt reached out, gave us a call. And you know what? You just have to hear what she has to say about listening to the episode and what it gave her. Okay, take a listen.
Hi, Jamie. This is Chelsea's Aunt Jenny in Washington State, who you had on the most recent podcast. You had Chelsea and Megan, and they were telling their journey and their story of having given birth to their baby Jameson. And I just wanted to let you know that so many questions I've had about Chelsea's journey and didn't ask, because even as stated in your conversation with them, it's rude to ask these questions, or at least that has been my interpretation. And I really haven't had an opportunity to really sit down and talk to Chelsea about the last 3 years in particular. But I just wanted to thank you for your podcast. I'm so glad that they came on and that helped to answer many of my questions and questions Chelsea's extended family may have, and also increase my compassion for this, for the whole community that your podcast represents. So thanks again. And Jameson is the handsomest little Irish lad. And also, Jamie, I do not like the sound of my voice recorded. So though I am fine with you sharing it on your podcast, like you may you stated somewhere, I don't like it. But in support of Chelsea and Megan, if you want to do that, feel free. All right. Peace. Bye.
OMG. Right, y'all? Right, y'all? I almost cried when I listened to that the first time. Way to go, Auntie. Way to be an ally. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for explaining, you know, the impact that this show had, the impact that it had on your family even. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate, who knew the allies were going to show up like they have? Oh, yay, yay. And I want to say one more thing, because I did say in last week's episode, you know, don't ask those rude questions. I guess I don't mean it like that. Like, intent matters. So if you're coming at us with a malicious intent when you're asking about how we made our families, you know, if you're it's low key, like giving me like, ooh, you're a groomer energy, I'm going to know. Right. And I'm going to know you're not asking from a place that comes from really the heart. But if you are coming from the heart and you really want to know, like I would want to know how my lesbian friend made her children, you can ask. You can ask. We see your intent. We see it. I really appreciate that phone call. And thank you so much. And, you know, shout out to those allies, because let me tell you, Chelsea's auntie was not the only ally that reached out and gave us some stuff about what this show means to them. So I actually didn't know that there were that many allies listening. So thank you. And you're going to hear more of them in the episodes to come. It warms my heart. I cannot even explain to you how much hearing from any of you, but allies, you know, warms my heart. So if you want to reach out, if you want to leave a voicemail and be featured on the show, you can even leave me a video and be featured in the video episode as well. You can also just be anonymous and send an email. You can send me a DM, just queerfamilypodcast@gmail.com or the Queer Family Podcast across all the socials. Or give us a call at 646-470-1840. I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to hear from you. And right now I want to know how this show impacts you. In a good way. I don't want to hear the negative stuff. Please don't send me negatives. I'm not a groomer. None of us are groomers. Oh my God. Go follow us on all the social media too, especially YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast, because for some reason we are in some weird, crazy, scary algorithm over there where we are full of, let's say, homosexual haters, shall we? It's crazy. I don't even know. They're coming out of the woodwork. So go follow us over there. Give us a follow. Give us some love. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, do all the things. It means the world. And don't forget to join my Patreon, because that also, every little bit helps. Every little bit counts. And, you know, I want to roll the tape. I freaking love you all. You're all amazing. And I'm so glad you tune in week after week after week after week. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I love y'all. Mwah. All right. Helen and Beulah. Helen, I think Helen might be starting her own blog soon on our website. I heard her low-key talking about it. For reals, y'all. Like, smoking a cigarette, typing one finger at a time, a blog about all the episodes. I'm not even kidding. I'll let you know if it actually happens. Let me know if you want Helen to do that, because I might have to give her a friendly nudge. I'm not ready to be yelled at, but I'll do it for you. I'll do it for y'all if you want it. Helen's not real. It would actually be me writing the blog. But it would be funny. Anyway, okay. Helen, Beulah, my loves, please roll that tape. Thanks, y'all. Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Kara.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. I'm so excited to have you. I follow you.
Aw, and I follow you back.
If you don't follow Kara, you need to get over there and follow Kara right now. It's Kara's ATL on the Instagram. That's the one I know. Yes. And is that how you're supposed to say it? Because that's how I say it.
Yeah, Kara's ATL. And I do it on Kara's Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all three. Every platform, I'm Kara's ATL. Make it easier.
And Kara is like showing Kara's beautiful, beautiful family. And it's amazing. And, you know, you're a trailblazer. And I'm so happy you're out there doing that thing. So I appreciate you. Let's get right into your elevator pitch. For those people living under a rock who actually don't know who you are, you're going to give us your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're talking to the Queer Fam Squad over here. Okay. Don't worry. I will not cut you off. It's just a way to make you slightly nervous, and it's
right.
Fun.
You're succeeding. You're succeeding.
So I'm going to give you a countdown, and you go for it. I'm never going to cut you off. You just keep going. Don't you worry. I'll just put the clock down when you pass the 30
seconds. When it passes 30 seconds, I'm going to say, and I'm done. I'm done because I'll talk for 3 minutes. So let's not.
Okay. Well, that's good because you need to talk. You're on a podcast. All right, here we go. On your mark, get set, go.
My name is Kara. I came out later in life at the age of 30, and I had a daughter and was actually also married prior to two different situations. But I came out when she was about 2.5. And then I ended up meeting my partner several years later when she was 5, who also is named Kara. We ended up just forming a family about the age of 6 when she finally officially met Mila. When she met Mila, she became a mom. And it just really all built on top of that. So I started sharing my journey and our story of basically coming into queer life. And it was just all about community for me. I wanted to make a space where I could reach out and connect with other queer people because it was so hard being in the South. We live in Atlanta, Georgia. I guess I should have mentioned that. It was just a very difficult transitional time for me personally. I didn't grow up with anybody else that was queer or definitely no queer families. So I really wanted to connect with more queer people and queer families. And so I told Kara I wanted to really like get a lot of thoughts out there. And she said, well, what about doing a blog? And I was like, that's too much commitment.
It's a lot of writing.
Yes. I said, it'll basically turn into a book. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. She said, well, what about using Instagram as like set caption link so you can just like have little discussions? So I started doing that. And then it just kind of snowballed on itself. And I found this whole queer community that I just immersed myself in. And I mean, I love it. That's what the main thing about that, you know, my page, any page that I have, is that the whole basis of it was for community, was for all of us to have a safe space to come together, to talk about difficult conversations, to talk about, you know, have a space. I have so many people that reach out to me that are like, I'm married and I know I'm gay. Like I'm struggling. Can you help me? Of course, I never came out when I was married. That didn't happen at that time. So a lot of times I try to send them in other areas. It's been such a huge like healing process and just an amazing outlet for me to really just connect with everybody, but then also to share my family and be that representation that I never had. That was
a huge part
for me.
You're speaking to my heart right now because you and so many other influencers who I've talked to who are doing the same kind of work as you and this podcast all came from a personal need of needing to feel a sense of community, right?
Yes.
And then you realize once you put it out there, there are so many more of us out there who are feeling the exact same way, who need to see that representation, who need to see that visibility.
Yes.
So I love that you did that. I love that you're doing that. And I love the perspective you bring to it, having come out later in life.
Yes.
Already with a family. So let's take it way back.
Okay.
Let's take it to Kara before Kara knew Kara was queer. Let's like go, like, where did this all start? Because, yeah, let's go back to the, you know, where you want to take it.
Gosh, I think, to be honest, it was several different moments in my life that I knew I was different. Even starting back when I was in high school, I knew that I was attracted to girls. Like, but I didn't even know like what that meant. And I knew no one, and I mean no one, that was queer. Like, I just knew, I did not know anybody, which is so funny because, well, my aunt actually came out later in life.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I had an uncle that's queer. Oh. But it was never talked about in my family. It was told to be, they don't bring their partners around. We don't talk about that. So, yeah, that was just very hidden from my family that we had like, family members that were queer. Like, you, it's weird because I did not grow up like knowing that or knowing about them. Or actually, all I knew was that they were living a sinful life, right?
And the children can't know anything about that. Like, the children can't, especially the children, right?
Especially the children.
Exactly. Which is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But also, and also you grew up in.
Oh, I grew up in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Even worse.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't say that, but. Yeah, no, it's so true. There was that issue. So like, I felt like I was like very alone in this. So I was just like, you know, I'll just keep it pushing. Like, what was the norm in this Southern country living is meet a boy, you date a boy, you get married to said boy, you have kids with said boy, and you go about your business.
Yeah.
So I met a guy in my senior year of high school, and then we kind of dated on and off. It was a very abusive relationship.
Oh, no.
Yes. It was very horrible, and it was just tumultuous. But the sad part about it is that we were best friends, but it was, there was a lot of jealousy from his side. And even at one point in time, he accused me of being gay. And I was like, no, I'm not. But it was, it's so funny. Just like I said, these pockets of things that kept showing throughout my life. And that was in college.
Right.
That all happened.
Right.
So then I just decided, like, I kept thinking if I would just get married to him, things would get better. And, you know, the typical issue with abuse.
You know what? I had a boyfriend in college who accused me of being gay too. And it was kind of an emotionally abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And him accusing me of that was like the worst, because I think I knew deep inside it was true.
Yeah.
That damaged me in so many ways.
Yeah. Yep.
That I don't even know how to explain.
Yep.
Do you know? Like, that was, I totally understand what you're saying.
You almost feel outed in that moment. And you're just like, no, that's not true. Like, why would that be who I am? Like, what do you mean?
Right.
Like, I'm with you.
Where do you even see that?
Yes.
Although in my case, he did actually read my journal, and I had drawn a picture of this girl I had a crush on, like naked. So, I mean, it was like kind of obvious, but. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Like, how do you see, where do you see that? How can you possibly see that?
Yep.
Right.
So was, he said that I had like a fascination or a fixation on women. I'm sorry. You're not wrong. So anyways, we ended up getting married.
Mm.
3 years into the marriage, we get divorced. It never got any better. It only got worse. So it just completely blew up. In college, I had a crush on my best friend.
Yeah, of course you did.
But I never told her because
why
in the world would I tell her when she had a boyfriend? And I just really didn't think that that was the trajectory of our, like, again, I had never been around queer people. So I was like, how do I even navigate this? Like, I don't know. So
wait, our stories are kind of parallel because I had a crush on my best friend in college, never told her at all, ever, even though I was surrounded by queerness because I went to musical theater. I was surrounded by queer people.
Yes.
Also, I'm from San Francisco. So queer
thing. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I don't know what my personal issue was, but never told her. She's gay now, by the way. Anyway, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. How funny. So that just never came to fruition at all. So then fast forward, we get married, we get divorced. I meet this girl that I'm taking like on an interview with my company. And she's like, can you tell that I'm gay? Or she said, can you tell something's off with me? And I was like, no, I'm like, you're completely normal. And she was like, you can't tell that I'm gay. And I was like, you're gay? Like, it like never even resonated with me. She was like, I don't even carry a purse. And I was like, well, I mean, that doesn't make me think that you're gay. I don't know why you would think that, like, those two things never connected in my brain.
That's so lesbian.
And she was very film. So I'm like, no, I didn't initially think because you carried a clutch. wallet thing that you were getting. Anyway, it was just so funny. But from the second she said that, you could cut the tension with a knife in that car. It was so palpable. And it got real like, oh, like this is where we are. And so it was, it just became very much, we had an intense relationship from that moment on. But of course, like I knew, like as the person interviewing her, I was like, I cannot do anything. I wouldn't even know what to do, even if I could. But I was like, I'm not doing anything. But we stayed talking for several months after that.
Because you were like, okay, I need to know more about this.
It was, to me, an opportunity.
Yeah. And was she like low-key hitting on you? Like, was she attracted to you?
So, yes. Like, what she figured out, I think that she was like, oh, she actually might be interested in this. She started kind of like reciprocating the same kind of vibe that I was giving off, clearly. Mm-hmm. So it just became like real intense. And like I said, nothing ever happened, but we stayed in communications for several months, and then communications fell off, I'm sure because she met somebody or whatever. And then also because like I wasn't ever going to do anything. Like I was terrified, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is somebody. So anyways, Fast forward again, I meet this other guy. We start dating. We have a very tumultuous relationship. Again, I end up getting pregnant, though. And that's how Milo was born. He is there initially, like in the infancy, and then it's gone and he's never been around anymore.
Oh, he's never really been around. Nope. And you were never married to him.
No. So there's that piece of it as well.
So you like already started that lesbian baby making journey. You got yourself a sperm donor like way beyond.
Like, yes. It's like the OG sperm donor. Yep. So I said, let me just be prepared.
Yeah.
So then it still took me again like 2.5 years, like once Milo was 2.5 years old, to finally be like, you know what? Like, I'm done caring about what everybody else feels about this, because that was my biggest thing. Like, I just didn't know how to navigate it. I had hit basically rock bottom at that point. But it was at that moment that I was like, I'm done living for everybody else. I'm actually, for the first time in my life, going to choose me and live for me and fuck everybody else. If you don't like it, we're just going to have to like part ways. Because I'm going to have to start choosing myself. And that was when I first came out. And I did not actually know that I was a lesbian when I first came out, because I was like, I don't even know how to navigate this. I just know that I like women.
And yeah, you've never tried anything, right? Like, you've never done anything.
Right. Yeah. So then it was about, you know, I dated several different people, but nobody had ever met Mila. I kept that separate until I met Kara. Mm-hmm. So that's how we lead all the way up till, and you know what? I don't even remember how old I was when I met her, because it was in 2018. I was 33, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. 33. So, and you only came out at 30.
Yes.
Can I ask you, how did your family take it?
Because my dad's sister is gay, he was a little bit more accepting, I think, but they both thought it was a phase. Both him and my mom thought it was a phase. They thought that
same
I was just going crazy and I had just not like got my bearings back yet with like everything that had happened to me, and you know, that I was just really going through a lot. It just didn't make any sense to them how I had been married, how I'd had a child with a man, how I'd always been with men and never been with women. But I'm like, how do you expect me to be with women when I've never been around queer people? I didn't have an opportunity.
To them, there were no signs. There were absolutely, this is completely out of the blue. Whereas to you, all the signs were there, but that's so internal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, and two, you got to think about it like this. We were always shown that gay people look like Ellen and Rosie. Mm-hmm. I did not look gay to them.
Right. Right.
I looked like I should be, you know, in Southern Living with my picket white fence and this man and our two kids, a boy and a girl, you know, like that's what I looked like to them. And I was just like, I don't fit in that though. I've tried to fit and I never could. That's why I always ended up being in these like terrible situations with these terrible dudes. And like, because I never could, square peg, round hole, I could not fit it in. And that was, you know, the crux of the situation.
You know, all they know is the stereotypes of what
absolutely
quote unquote gay people are and look like.
Yep.
And that's all you've been shown. That's, right. So how do you find? Yeah. So then you do it. They've come around, obviously, right?
Yes. We've had other issues, though, because we have them resolved now. But there was a long span of time when they would not look at Kara W. as a mother. So they view her as just my partner, but not necessarily Mila's mom. So, like, there were many Mother's Days that were missed because they just would not look at her as a mom. And finally, this past Mother's Day, the one before, me and my mom had a huge blow up because I finally was just like, I've had enough. Like, my sister has her husband, but her child is not from her husband.
Because I was going to say there's two layers to this, but now you're going to tell. Okay, go ahead.
Her husband is not her child's biological father. But he, in all intents and purposes, is her dad. And that is how she is looked at. That is how he is looked at. Like, it was a very natural progression for them. And I felt like it was so, and they came together after we were all together. So I was like, it was so natural for y'all to make that transition. But it wasn't natural for them to make the transition of her being a mom, me being a mom. That was a big, like, not only like sit down, let's rah-rah it out, but then also like a big moment of recognizing that two mom families, in fact, mean that two moms. That means there's two mothers to say happy Mother's Day to during Mother's Day. Like, it was just, and my mother said, it's a thought I had never thought about. And I was like, but that's exactly the problem and exactly why it's so important that we have the representation that we have, because it's something you never thought about. It literally went over your head for years. And, you know, I just feel like that's something that I think people just don't realize. Like, they don't understand what a two-mom family goes through when someone doesn't get recognized as another parent. They're just a fluff character. That's what I kept telling them when I was arguing with them. I was like, so basically she's just the fluff character in our life. It does all these things for our family.
Right.
But you just see her as what? An add-on?
Right.
It just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I love that you just brought that up. And that's another perspective for the need for representation, normalization, all the things, right? Yes. Because that's the thing. It's sometimes it really is just the case of it not being on people's radars.
Absolutely. Just something they've never navigated before. So to them, they don't think about it. But when you're faced with, you know, a child that is yours that like is wanting that same validation as their sibling, you're going to eventually encounter that issue, and that the heads are going to butt together because I'm going to finally put my, you know, stick my heel in and say, hold up, this is not okay. What's happening? Because I did have that conversation with my parents early on. When I first came out to them, I told them, like, if my partner is not going to be invited to Christmases and Thanksgiving and birthdays and whatever, like, I'm not going to come. I'm going to draw this line in the sand very early on when I didn't even have a partner. I was just like, I'm going to let y'all know, though, this is the boundary line and I'm not going to cross that if y'all aren't going to meet me halfway.
Yeah, these are my terms. These are my terms, and you got to treat me just like you would treat my brother and his wife or my sister, right?
Beer Family Podcast, Love is Love.
We'll be right back.
Love is love.
So let's take it to you meet Kara. This is the one.
Yes.
So how long did it take you to introduce Mila? And like, how did you meld the two families?
Well, we met in like the fall, early winter of 2018. We met online on the Her app. And so then we chatted online for a while. And then we moved over to texting each other for a while. And then we moved on to talking on the phone for a while. And then we finally FaceTimed.
This is a process.
It was a process. Kara's a very anxious person. So she would always get real like nervousy. And it ended up being like, it took time. And plus, like, I was nervous. I mean, it was still to me early on in my queer journey. You know, we're only 3 years in. And I'm like, I've met someone that I really, really like, you know, not that I didn't like some other ones, but like, I really felt good about her. She felt solid to me. She felt safe. And I think that was one of my very first like feelings of, I think I can let her meet my love.
That's safe.
Yes.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. Solid, safe.
She lived in Atlanta at the time. So finally I went there and stayed with her. And it was just like in that moment of like being face to face with her and like spending the weekend with her, I was like, oh yeah, this is probably the one.
When you know, you know.
Yes. So then it was about, I don't know, I want to say like 3 or 4 months later that she met Mala. It was a while because I went back and forth to Atlanta on every few weekends and stuff like that and just like hung out with her and got to know her better. And then finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to bring Mala. So I was very nervous about that, obviously.
What are the nerves about? I want to know, because I've never experienced something like this, like having my kids meet my partner, my lover, or whatever.
Well, I guess you're nervous because you're like, I don't want to introduce Mala to just any Joe Blow, right?
Right.
I don't want her to just be in and out of people's lives or be in and out of her life. So I'm very particular about that, about who actually gets to come around and be a part, because she loves people. She really like opens herself up. And then, you know, if you're fine and funny and, you know, she's going to really attach herself to you. So I finally was just like, you know, I'm anxious because of that. I don't want it to all blow up. I was taking her to another state, another city to like introduce her to a woman that I was dating. Like I had never told her like this is a woman I'm dating before until Kara. Because I wanted her to know me as a queer person by myself first.
Right. Wow. Good for you.
Well, because I just wanted her to understand somebody else did not make me gay. I'm gay by myself. I'm the queer person. If I choose to have a partner, we'll be together. But like, I wanted her to understand. I didn't want her to think, oh, mom decided to be gay because such and such came into her life. That was never the case. Mm-hmm. So I wanted her to understand that this was me singularly by myself.
I love
that. As a queer person. So after, like, once we established that, I think it was easier when I brought Kara in and, like, introduced her as, this is my girlfriend. It still was foreign, though, to Mala, because she had never seen me queer couples. She had never seen me with another person. So she's still trying to, like, wrap her head around it. But she's like, okay, you know, and she really loved Kara. And Kara always wanted a family.
Okay, that's another question. Like, you know, you're bringing a kid into the whole mix. So
it ended up just being perfect because Kara had always wanted a child. So it worked out so well that I just happened to have a child. Like I remember talking to several people on the Her app, right? And a lot of times either they A, wouldn't bring up Mala, or, and I put that I had a child, or B, they would kind of mention it and just be real blasé about it. Kara directly said, like, and who's the little cutie that I see? And that, like, she was just very much invested from the beginning. I could just, she just gave off a different vibe than anybody else had given off. She was really like, I'm totally not bothered. Actually, I love the fact that you have a child.
Aw, go ahead, Kara.
It was just great. And then when she first met Mala, I always say, like, in that moment, she became a mom. Because it was in those meetings that she was like, I love this child. Like, it took us forever to say, I love you too, by the way. We're not your typical lesbians. It took us.
You didn't U-Haul.
And
this
we
was
did
not a
not.
U-Haul.
It took us like 4 or 5 months to ever say, I love you. So But she, you know, like, she felt that love and that, like, oh, I'm going to protect this child. I want to be here for this child. I want this to be my family. And it was her.
And that's so important.
Yes. And it was her commitment and willingness right away with her and with me that, like, made me feel like, oh, this is, we're forming a whole bond here between the three of us.
A unit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A whole family unit. And it just really was a great, like, I couldn't have asked for anybody better than to just come in and really, like, meld into our family like she did. Like, it was so easy.
It was perfect. It was perfect. That's, and Myla was how old?
She was 6 at the time she actually met her.
I mean, and the rest is history. Yeah. Then you moved in. Are you married?
No. That's a whole other journey we're about to take. After, like, we kept going to Atlanta, we finally moved to Atlanta before Myla went to kindergarten in Alabama. And then we were like, okay, we either have to make a decision. Are we going to move and have her go to school in Atlanta for first grade moving forward? Or are we going to do another year apart? And both of us were just like, nope, we're not doing another year apart. We don't want that.
No.
So we moved to Atlanta and we all got an apartment together. And then we lived in Atlanta for 2 years. And then we decided, instead of getting married, to buy a house.
Yeah, well, because, you know.
Well, we went through COVID, and that's what changed the trajectory of everything. So we were going to get married first, because that was like, Kara wanted to get married first and do all the things, but COVID changed that. We realized in that small apartment, Myla is a very rambunctious child. She has a lot of energy and wants to be go, 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 go.
Same. I got 2 of them, too. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So we realized real quick that if we were ever going to go through another pandemic, and, you know, at the time, we were all like, who knows?
This is never going to end.
Yeah, that we didn't know it was going to end, or, like, if this was going to be a revolving door every year. So we were like, okay, we're going to move. So we moved to Marietta, and we stayed there. We bought that house. We stayed there for a year, but it turned into a disaster because we moved to West Marietta, which ended up being a very conservative part of Marietta. It was very diverse, but it was very conservative. It was awful. They were trying to remove that piece of Marietta from Marietta and turn the city into another city so that they could run it on its own with its own conservative values. And we were just like, oh, absolutely not. Mind you, just to throw another kink in this chain, and why I'm so grateful we went with our gut feelings and moved 2 weeks ago. A teacher in the other elementary school, not the one Myla went to, but the one right beside it, was fired in 5th grade for reading an inclusive book that was on the book fair's list. Like, the county had said this, or the district had said, this is an approved book. She read it to her classroom. A parent got mad and took her to court, and they fired her in that same space.
Oh, my God.
So,
like, it's already scary enough, like, in general, but you were in the heart of places.
Yeah. Yes. So we're so thankful, like, we knew to get out. Like, we just had this feeling, like I said, well, regardless, because they didn't win. The city didn't turn into another city. But we were like, regardless, these people are going to keep coming. They're going to keep advocating for more conservative views and values and whatnot over here. Like, this is just not our cup of tea. Like, we had our Stacey Abrams sign out in our yard. Like, we are not your conservative people. So we were like, we got to go. So then we moved to the other side of Georgia. That was last year. Best move we've ever made. So we're finally settled.
There are safe spaces in the South.
Yes.
You just have to find them.
Find them. And you have to just do your research on the schools. And we felt so much better about the school. And I can't even rave enough about Myla's teacher last year. She taught so much when it came to Black history, when it came to inclusivity for everybody, when it came to queer families. Like, she was such an advocate for everything. I love that about her. It literally gave us the very first taste of that since we were in Atlanta.
And that's what you need. That's what you need, right?
Yes, because every kid wants to see their family represented. They want to see that family why kids don't know about queer people is not because they shouldn't. It's because we don't give it to them. We don't offer that mom and mom cartoon figures, the dad and dad cartoon figures. We only offer mom, dad, kids. So that's what they think in their mind is the only option. That's why we have so many queer kids struggling, because they don't see it as an option.
There's no representation. Trans, there's no trans stories out there. None. There's no, you know,
none.
Nothing. It's really sad. And there's this crazy myth, you know, among people that children aren't ready to hear about that yet, because in their minds, you talk about queerness and you're talking about sex.
Right.
And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
If my kids can know about gay people from birth, everybody's kids can, right?
And people are sitting here thinking, Mala's 10. People think all the time, oh, you shouldn't be talking about things of this nature with kids. Well, let me just tell you, this past summer, Mala went to summer camp, and this little girl was talking to her, not only about her having two moms, but about what our religion is. What do we believe in? How does that affect how her mom believes that we're not okay, like we should not be a couple at all. We shouldn't have a queer family. Can they be friends because her mom's beliefs versus our beliefs? And kids are talking about these things. So the fact that you're trying to not show them these things is only fueling the fire that they're going to talk about it on their own. You might as well give them truth and representation and let them figure it out on them for themselves, because they're going to talk about it. They're at that age.
Yeah, totally. They're going to navigate it one way or another.
Right.
And spewing hatred about, oh my God, I don't even, you know what I mean? Like,
it's wild, but it's so crazy because the little girl was like, I don't have a problem with gay people. Like, I don't have that. That's my mom's issue. And she also doesn't have a lot of friends. And Mala was like, well, maybe I could see why. And I was like, oh God, Mala. But, you know, that's kids. They're just going to tell the honest truth. So it's one of those things that you do have to be careful in some situations, because we're two moms. We always like to put that. We go to every school function together because we want people to, number one, for people that know Mila to realize she has two moms. Because if, let's say we want to have a birthday party and we want to invite the kids and their mom or dad or whoever brings them, and they're like, oh, y'all are a two mom family. You know, like we don't want it to be a surprise. It's not, we're not trying to shock you or trick you. We're here. No. We're present. We're always around.
That's the thing I say. When you have kids, you have to be out and proud all the time now, because it's not for your sake. It's for your children's sake.
Yes.
Now, right.
Yes. Yes.
It's 100%. To protect them, because the last thing we want is for our children to feel any of that internalized homophobia or shame.
Yes.
About who their family is. Absolutely. That we already have inside of us because of the stuff we were raised in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Right. So
yeah, because even until this day, you know, having to come out 24/7, you know, when you see somebody and they're like, oh yeah, and your husband, and you're like, actually, it was just kind of weird for me, because I'm like, actually, I don't have a wife yet, but you might as well say she's my wife, because I'm like, well, my partner actually, who is a woman, by the way, you know, and it's like,
right. It's like, you have to be like, my girlfriend, who's not a girlfriend, like girl who's a friend, but like, she's like my girlfriend. Right.
Exactly. And it gets so like convoluted that you're like, I just wish we had never talked about this.
Can we not talk about this? And if the kids aren't there, you can just like be like, yeah, whatever. Okay, my husband. But if the kids are there, no, I don't have a husband, because they need to see the pride.
100%. Right? 1,000%. That's exactly. And Mila has started telling people right up front when she meets them, I have two moms.
Yeah.
Are you okay with it? Because she's like, I don't want to waste my time with with somebody that's not okay with my moms. Like, I want you to know right up front, I have two moms, and that's okay. And if you're not okay with it, that's your problem. So,
Right. Good for Mila.
You know.
And the kids are going to change the world. That's what I keep saying. And I also have to say, it does feel like we've gone backwards.
1,000%.
You know?
We have went backwards in so many ways. And while, yes, we still have a right to get married and whatnot. Those things are still there, but we have went backwards in how much hatred is able to be spewed now over the queer community, over our trans community, over, you know, queer families. Like it is palpable now. When someone does not accept us, they don't just whisper it. They scream it now. It is so loud.
Because it's become a political agenda.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
It's been allowed to be spoken about in a negative way.
Yeah. When it used to be like, let's just not talk about them. Now it's like, let's tell about every nasty thing they could possibly think, do, be, you know, and say that that is all of them. And that is everybody.
But of course they say, let's take back the real family values and get rid of these groomers.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Which is wild because what they base their real family values on is just a sole Christian belief.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And why we're still there.
White Christian.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And why we're still there as a country, as a world, and as a whole, when there are so many other religions out there.
It's pushing an ideal, that picket fence with the husband and the wife and the two kids and the dog, 2.5 kids, that doesn't really even exist. That is really an exception to the rule. I'm putting this in quotations. You're lucky if you got that set up. Nobody has that set up nowadays. Nobody has that. That's not it. And it's everybody's white, right?
Oh, yes.
No,
everybody's
that's
white.
That's not reality.
Right.
Yes and yes and yes. And I love that you're out there being visible. And I love your family. Are you going to have more?
We thought about it, but I don't think so. Here's why. Thinking about raising Mala and bringing another child into her world of being an only child and then saying like, okay, we're still all a family. And now she knows like, oh, that's got, you know, Mama C's DNA in there and Mommy carried. And like, I would hate for her to think that we were more of a family than like we all were a family.
Right. That's an interesting thought and an interesting perspective. And I get it. Yeah.
And then you have to go through the whole prospect or the whole situation of there's a lack of Black donors in this world.
Right.
And so then that's another issue is that I would absolutely want a child that at least looked like Mila.
Because Mila is half Black.
Yes. Because she would want that representation too. She always says, I'm the only Black person in our family. And and I hate that for her because it is a true realization that she has to understand what she surrounds her own self with tons of Black friends. Like that is who that she is 1000% navigates, you know, within her Black heritage. That's how she lives life. Like that's the, if she gets a doctor, she wants them to be a Black doctor. She is very specific on the things that she wants. And we make sure that she has that as well as I surround her with my own community of Black friends that like uplift her, like all of her aunties, you know, like she has a lot of Black representation. But if we were to have a child and say we had just a white child, I feel like it does nothing but go hurts her in the narrative of I'm surrounded by white people in my family. Mm. So I feel like I would come to a situation where people wouldn't necessarily love the fact that we would get a Black donor as well. And I would hate to take that away, you know, from another Black family. It's just a lot of convoluted things.
Because there's such a shortage of Black donors.
Correct.
California Cryobank, you listening?
Right.
You listening? get on that. But like, you know what I mean? Like, yes. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Taking those donors from Black families who really.
Yep.
Ooh. This is layered.
I don't want to do that. So there's just a lot. There's so much that goes into this decision and why we finally were like, you know what? I think we're not going to pursue this. And if we go down any avenue, we're going to go down the fostering avenue. And we're really thinking about that because there's been a couple of kids we've ran into with just raising Mila that were kind of not in such great situations. And we had a conversation that like, what if in this situation, they turned to us and said, can you help us? Can they stay with you? And and we've been like, we would do it. So we know that we're leaning more that way. So that's like later down the road. That's going to be a while. But like But first and foremost, we're trying to get engaged right now. We're trying to get married.
You get some things. You get some things going on.
Yeah, we're hoping to be married a year from now. Well, not in this month, or too hot. Like in the fall of next year. That's when we're hoping.
Okay.
So probably should All right. see some engagements pretty soon, at least before
okay.
before
That's exciting.
The new year. Yeah.
I love you. I'm so glad you came and talked, and I think everybody's going to love your story, and I'm so appreciative of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Listen, you're sharing stories that literally mean the world to me, and just sharing queer family stories, like, it's amazing. What you're doing is everything. So thank you so much for sharing mine at all. I really appreciate it.
Oh my God. I'm so glad to have you. Tell everybody where they can find you, all the places.
Okay.
So they can go follow.
Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I mean, I'm on the other little things, like I can't even think. Lemonade.
Threads. Yeah.
But I'm so forget to post on there. But you can find me at Karas, C-A-R-A-S underscore A-T-L on all of those platforms.
Perfect. Go follow. Go do all the things. And I really appreciate it. We'll be in touch. This isn't the end.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.